scared, motherfucker? Well, you should be, because the Green Beret's gonna kick your big ass.
I eat Green Berets for breakfast.
And right now, I'm very hungry.
I can't believe this macho bullshit.
It's Mixed on the Beat.
See what you can do.
What's up? It's Zisu, back again. E-Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. This is episode 58. Today we'll be talking about TV, including Nez on the Throne, Game of Thrones, Twin Peaks The Return, and The Mist. Movies including Atomic Blonde, The Emoji Movie, Passengers, Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, and Dunkirk. And as always, the week in sports, the week in Funko and collecting, weekly Star Wars moment, and our weekly random movie and song recommendations. But before I go any further, he's a deputy of the Blue Rose Task Force. It's the Nez!
Yo, rock on. What's up, everybody? We're back again, so let's get to it.
Yeah, sounds good. Real quick, how was your week overall with entertainment?
Not much.
Right.
A couple TV shows and one movie. Well, I got a couple movies in, but I saw Spider-Man again.
Right.
So, but it was just as good. I think it was even better the second time. I caught some more stuff, but yeah, man, I really love this movie. It's definitely going to be in my top 10. And Michael Keaton, man, he was awesome, and I just can't wait. I'm kind of like, okay, I'm ready for Nacho to be Scorpion, but
coming around.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I love that kid, that guy. I mean, he's a good actor and everything. So, I just wish he was a little taller. But other than that, man, I think I'll be down with his performance as long as they do a good CGI job. Don't make it mechanical or anything stupid like that. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, they threw me off a few times with that movie as far as like who I thought was going to be who ended up being. Like, I thought Mary Jane all the time up until the moment I was seeing in the theater was the girl who ended up leaving, who moved, Michael Keaton's daughter. I thought that was Mary Jane. I thought that's who they were presenting to us in the trailers. And then I was under the assumption that Donald Glover was playing Shocker, and that didn't happen. And then, of course, yeah, the surprise was Scorpion. So they had me guessing.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of like the same way. At first, what is that actress's name? I can't remember her name, but yeah, they were leading it on. The MJ girl, Michelle, whatever her last name was, I was kind of thinking, well, who is she going to be? But
right.
She was in it a lot, I mean, but she was just a little side-busting some one-liners and everything off to the side, but you can clearly see that she likes Peter. At the end of the movie, she just gave him that look, and I'm like, okay. I mean,
but then they reveal is the Zendaya actress, and that's where I got really confused because I thought Zendaya was the other girl. I wasn't familiar with her other work, so that's what threw me off.
I'm still not familiar with what she does. So, I mean, because everyone, who is this chick?
I still haven't looked into it. She might be a Zendaya.
Looks like she is a Disney kid.
Okay.
Some show called Zapped. and Frenemies, something called Shake It Up, and a lot of video shorts, a lot of TV. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if she's a, I assume she's a singer, but who knows? We'll see. Well, I guess she is because she's on soundtracks, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, whoever you are, man, I mean, all right, let's see what you're going to do in Spider-Man, or in the next Spider-Man, so.
Right.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, just I wish there was more Aunt May, Marissa Tomei, man. I love her to death, but oh man, well, I don't know. I don't know where we're gonna go in this next movie. I mean, it's obviously gonna be he's not gonna be. I mean, it's cool that Tony Stark, Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr. was in it, but I hope. This next movie is just Spider-Man, just Peter Parker. Reference everything else because I assume he's going to be in Infinity Wars and all that. But just come on, let's don't bring in these other characters that we already know that's in this universe. If Happy pops in there, that's cool, man. I mean, Jon Favreau is a good character, and I liked what he did when he popped in here. But just. Keep it Spider-Man. I mean, they'd already ruined it by throwing Robert Downey. Well, I guess they kind of needed to put him in there. For the suit factor and everything. And I love what they did with Civil War. But yeah, now they did that already. Let's not depend on other characters popping into this. I mean, I don't if they do more of the Captain America PSA announcements. I mean, those were awesome. I mean, I loved each and every one they did throughout the movie. But I think just. Reference other things going on, but just let's just stick. Let it be just a Spider-Man movie. Other than, I mean, just him and the bad guys he's fighting, and don't bring in any other Avenger or whoever. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, if they stick to their plans, it will be the Spider-Man Homecoming sequel. Will be the first movie after Infinity War, so Spider-Man will be kicking off. Not only a new phase of the Marvel Universe, but, like, I heard, like, it truly will be a fresh start because I'm pretty sure Infinity War Part 2 is going to be Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo, Scarlett Johansson, all their last runs. Like, they're not getting rid of their characters, but they're kind of taking a back seat and the other characters that we're starting to establish, Black Panther, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, they're going to step up, supposedly. So,
speaking of Infinity Wars, did you see the little Comic-Con trailer leak? It's all over YouTube.
I haven't been able to find it yet. Maybe they're laxing on it, but the last time I tried to look, I just couldn't catch it. I'd see all these posts where they're like, watch quick, hurry, you know, before it gets taken down, and it would be taken down. So I haven't seen it yet, but were you able to catch it?
I only saw the beginning of it because whoever keeps putting these up, it's different people that put it up. I mean, you can obviously tell whoever's filming it is just kind of keeping their phone low because it's either tilted or half the screen is gone. But from what I've seen, I only caught the beginning and I was like, I can't watch this because it was such a bad thing. There is some fake ones out there. If it looks like just images from other movies we've seen, just stop. But this one, if it doesn't start off with Guardians of the Galaxy, just don't find the next one. But that was it. I mean, they show Rocket and Star-Lord and, I mean, the whole gang. They're flying in space. And if you guys don't want to hear this, just fast forward like a minute or a couple minutes. But they're flying around in space. I can't remember what they were talking about. And they hit something in space. they see something floating, and they get closer, and then it hits the windshield, and it's Thor.
Awesome.
And I was like, oh, my, I just got super excited, but then it just the one I was watching was just so crappy, I just kind of stopped it. They showed Thanos really quick, as far as I got, and but I couldn't understand what he was saying, because whoever was filming this, I mean, I understand you're trying to be sneaky, but... I don't know, but I got hyped with the beginning, with the Guardians and them crashing into Thor. But it was funny. What made me really excited was, I mean, I love Rocket. I wish he would just get his own movie. But when Thor hits the windshield of the ship, he's like, just wipe it off.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I didn't watch the whole thing. I mean, the one I found was all crappy, but. Yeah, I mean, that got me hyped up, because I remember them saying there's going to be like a million characters in Infinity War, which is cool, but,
yeah, at least seven.
I was kind of like, yeah, okay. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it, but, I said it before, I wasn't that big of a fan of Guardians 2, but just a little bit they showed in this little trailer that they showed at Comic-Con, I was like, "All right, I'm on board for this. I'm on board for any Marvel thing." But I was kind of like, "Ooh, okay." But it looked cool, man. I mean, just that little bit that I saw, and you hear Thanos talking, and that's what's his face,
Josh Brolin.
Yeah, Corey Webster from Thrashing. Yeah, Josh Brolin. So, but yeah, I'm excited for it. When is that coming out?
Next May. So we've got Thor in November, Black Panther in February, and then Infinity War in May.
Oh, we also got whatchamacallit? Justice League in November, don't we?
Yes. Justice League in November.
Oh man. Yeah. We talked about that last week. I'm excited for it, but I don't want to get too excited for it. I did watch that trailer again, and just seeing more Wonder Woman, I'm like, ooh, just give me Wonder Woman, another Wonder Woman movie. That's what I want at this point, because I was so awesome with that first one. So we'll see. I still haven't gone back and watched BVS again, because I said it before, I wasn't that big of a fan of the Godot or whatever her name is as Wonder Woman in that. But standalone movie made me change my mind. So right. We'll see. But
yeah, exactly. Last little note on the MCU Marvel Spider-Man Infinity War thing. Did you see those posters that they were giving out at Comic-Con? Do you see any of those floating around?
I didn't. I saw images. All I saw was images online. I didn't see any of them there. I assume it was at the Marvel booth, or maybe they got one at the panel or something, but I just saw images online. I didn't actually see them there. I mean, I did go by the Marvel booth a few times just to see when, every time I walked by, something was going on, because there was a huge crowd there, and there was always I remember the Punisher people there, I remember Black Panther people being there, and I want to say the Defenders, but I can't remember. There was so much going on there. And then when nothing was going on there, the few times that I passed it, they weren't. I looked over on the little tables they had there. There wasn't anything. But
yeah, I'm not surprised, but you can just see the difference in the cons right there, because going into the first Avengers movie, every day they'd have a different character poster, and it was no problem to just go by the Marvel booth and pick up the poster. It was like out, and it was like a thing. Like, oh yeah, drop by the Marvel booth, you know, grab me Iron Man, or I need Thor, or something like that. And yeah, now it's just so big, you know, it's no longer a thing. You kind of gotta time it right to get it. But the the small little things I wanted to mention on the poster: one, Spider-Man in the Iron Spider suit, so he does don that. Captain America with the beard. Black Widow with either white or blonde hair, and kind of a younger, not fully adult Groot, but no longer like teen Groot, like 20s Groot.
I don't know, yeah. Man. We'll see. Who's Peter Dinklage? It just says rumored.
I don't know, because he was in the X-Men movies as his uncle over there. He made the Sentinels in that series, so I don't know. Can't imagine. What about MODOK? Oh, no, they already have a MODOK.
Yeah.
He was in Winter Soldier.
I want to know... sorry, everyone, but this is just in my mind. When is Fantastic Four and X-Men going to pop into all this stuff? So,
right.
I mean...
What? As soon as the rights lapse over at 20th Century Fox.
That and... both of them, huh? No, both of them.
Yeah.
Fox has both of them. They just need to hand them over. Hand them over to Disney and let us... get a good I did like the X-Men movies for what they were, and Logan awesome, but I doubt that's gonna tie into anything. But that last Fantastic Four, oh my god. But yeah, man, just hand it over to them and let them do it right so they can add everybody in. But we'll see. Oh, another quick question. When is the next Doctor Strange? Have you heard anything?
No. I know they're doing it, but it's either going to be between the Infinity Wars or then after. Once the Infinity War hits, then it's really hard to say what's going to happen in between May of 2018 and May 2019. I'm sure what's going to drop in between.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at this cast, what they have up so far. I mean, some of them say rumored and everything, but, man, we'll see what they do with all these characters, but right. I don't know. I mean, give us the Secret Wars if you can add all these people in, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, anyways, we started with Spider-Man. I didn't throw that in the intro, but I'm glad we... hit it off the top. We might as well continue with movies. I talked about Dunkirk last week. Did you want to give your thoughts now that you had a chance to see it?
Yeah. The other night I went and saw Dunkirk, and man, this movie was fucking awesome. I loved it. It was intense. And all the reviews that I was reading before this, they were all like, it's okay. It's, and then somebody was, it's boring. Nothing happens. And that I read that what that one soldier said. I'm not a soldier, so I have no idea. He would have a better insight of what he was saying about this movie. But I thought it was an amazing movie. I mean, I wish I saw it in IMAX. I just saw it in a regular theater here in the town I live in. But man, it was intense. And I mean, all these war movies, all these realistic war movies, not the so much Missing in Action and Rambo and stuff like that, except for the last Rambo, that was awesome. But this movie, man, I'm just like, oh my god. I mean, I'm sure it was a million times worse when it was really happening, but basically, man, those guys were just waiting to die,
right,
as they were waiting for boats to come pick them up. And then how they were just picking when they were sorry, everyone, if you haven't seen this, spoiler alert, but when those French guys tried to get on, they're like, hell no, you're last. And I was like, oh, man. But
well, you saw the little note at the very beginning as those soldiers are running through the street. It's a note from the German army saying, we surround you. And it's like, that's how it really was. They had the complete city around the bay completely covered. And then instead of advancing, they just... as you saw, had the planes come in. And so they really were just, you know, stuck. You know, they had to. There's no other move other than to retreat and leave.
Yeah, man, it was just, I don't really have a favorite character in this because, well, other than Tom Hardy, he was awesome. All I could see was Bane, especially when he had his little, his mask over his face. There's times where you couldn't understand him, but, there was one character,
The One Direction guy, he made it through. Obviously, spoiler alert, as Nez just said, at the end when the characters are on the train, the guy that asks for the paper, not the one that reads it, the guy that asks for the paper, that's the One Direction guy.
Oh, okay. Oh, I wasn't sure. I don't know what those guys look like. Oh, I know what one of them looks like, but majority of them, I have no idea. When I was watching this, I was texting the Zisu here because there's a character named Collins. He was one of the fighter pilots, and his name is Jack Loden. I thought that was Simon Pegg. He looks like a young Simon Pegg.
Kind of looked like it, yeah.
Because I was like, what? I mean, but I don't know. I mean, it was just that awesome of a movie. I mean, if you have not seen this, I think this is definitely a movie that you guys should all go out and see. If you know the history, I mean, I didn't know any of this. I mean, I kind of heard a little bit of it, but I didn't know the whole outcome of it all, man. But this movie was amazing. Commander Bolton, that guy, ooh, I mean, he was hardcore. He waited until every soldier got on a boat, and I was just like, oh man, is he gonna die? But it was cool. I mean, he was expecting to die because it seemed like he was like, man, just let me get everyone else out of here. And when that final boat left, that's when him and the rest of his crew all got on. But he was a good character, man. But there was times where I thought he was gonna go down, because when you hear those planes coming,
Yeah.
Oh, that just gave me the chills. Cause when you just
anxiety.
When you hear that, and everyone's just looking up, and there's nowhere to run because they're on this pier. I mean, it's all in the trailer. And they just duck down and hope they don't die. I was like, oh, my God. I can't imagine that. I mean, again, anyone, male or female, that serves in any armed force throughout the world, man, I give it to you. Because, oh, my God, I couldn't do it. I know I couldn't. But I'm sure a lot of these guys at this time were forced to be soldiers, because it seemed like there was a lot of kids, a lot of young guys out there. I mean, especially one of the main dudes they were focusing on. He was 20, maybe?
Right, maybe.
Yeah, and I think his name was Tommy. Actor is, that was the main guy. Finian Whitehead. Oh, man. And the other dude that was with him, the French dude, but we find out he was French later. Damien Bonnard, I think that's his name. But, oh, man, it was an amazing movie. I definitely want to see it again. If you haven't seen this yet and you are an IMAX fan, it's not in 3D, so don't have to worry about that. Definitely check this out on that IMAX screen or any bigger screens that they have out there, XD or whatever those things are. See it on a big screen. And because it was a big screen here, but not like a ginormous. I mean, hopefully I can get over to IMAX one and see this again before they pull it out. But this is definitely something you need to see on the screen. I know that I always get into this argument. Well, not really argument, but I always get into it with my buddy. He has one of those fire sticks or whatever and watches everything online. I'm like, man, you need to get out and go to the theater. I don't mind paying what I have to pay to see it, but
right. This
is definitely one that needs to be seen in the theater. And I'm definitely going to pick it up when it comes out. I mean, this movie was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah. Also, I think I mentioned this last week, but did you notice how in the very beginning they establish how long like each thing took? Like by air, it was like a couple hours. On the beach, they were there like a week, and then sea, it was like a day or something.
Yeah, I noticed that. And why were they jump? Well, I guess I figured. I mean, just because it took different times for everyone, it was jumping all over the place.
It jumped from the three storylines, but what they were trying to say in the beginning was each one of those storylines was a different like time. Like they appeared to all start at the same time, but they didn't. Like obviously Tom Hardy's storyline was the quickest. That took place in only like an hour or two of flight time. But the beach storyline like took like a whole week or something, and then the boat took like at least a day. So.
Oh yeah. Man. But all those people when the British Army was like, hey man, you guys need to go over to Dunkirk and pick up some soldiers. I mean, anyone who had a boat, didn't matter how big it was, but people did it. Man, they weren't like, oh hell no, I ain't going over there. Everyone just like, you know what? Let's go. I mean, this is for our country, so let's go over there. I mean, and all those people that did do that, man. I mean, other than the soldiers being super brave, the civilians that went over to pick them all up, I couldn't imagine any of that. I mean, even that main boat that they kept focusing on when what's his face jumped on, or when they picked him up from that boat that sunk, Scarecrow. I can't remember his name, but.
Cillian Murphy. Yeah. But it's funny that you say that because you got Bane and Scarecrow. Obviously, they're in the movie because of the relation with Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, I mean, some people were saying this movie should have been rated R because they wanted it to be a little more gruesome. I didn't think it needed that. I mean, just the intent.
It needed the tension. Yeah,
the intenseness of it all was enough. I mean. I didn't need to see the blood and dismemberment. I mean, I loved Saving Private Ryan because that's how Steven Spielberg wanted to show it. I mean, Christopher Nolan, who knows? Maybe he said, you know what? We already seen that. Let me just kind of give you the emotional side and the intenseness of what Dunkirk was. And I mean, I thought he did good, man. I hope the Academy looks at this and gives him something or recognizes him for this movie, because this movie was amazing.
Yeah. I completely agree. And I think it will. I could definitely see this being a award winner. We'll see. Sometimes the summer movies, they get out of the voters' minds, because it seems like all the movies that come out around December are the ones that end up being nominated. But I could definitely see this one. Spin it off real quick into two other war movies, just super briefly. Saw that Hacksaw Ridge, and I know you were a huge fan of that. And man, when that initial hacksaw battle goes down, I was like, man, this is almost like a horror movie. I mean, I guess, you know, war is horror, but I was like, this is gruesome.
Yeah, man, war is hell. I mean, that was definitely in my top 10 last year, and that movie was awesome. I loved it. I did pick it up, and I noticed it's on HBO, because when I was flipping through all the movies, I saw it on there.
I got it.
Yeah, so yeah, dude, that movie was amazing. I loved it. That was another movie. If you guys caught it on the big screen, man, I mean, it was amazing. But, man, if you got these big, huge, giant TVs now and the whole surround sound thing.
Yeah, I guess.
It'd still be awesome. But yeah, that movie was awesome. I loved it. I'm glad you got to see it.
Yeah. And the other one I just got to see, Stars had like a free weekend. So I got to see Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk. I don't know if you saw the previews for this or you got a chance to see it. It was directed by Ang Lee.
I've saw the trailer, but I'm not too sure what it was about. I saw the trailer a while ago.
Right. It's a kind of another like experiences of war type movie. Just a little IMDb blurb is 19-year-old Billy Lynn is brought home for a victory tour after a harrowing Iraq battle. Through flashbacks, the film shows what really happened to his squad, contrasting the realities of war with America's perceptions. So, the main kid is Billy, and played by Joe Alwyn, who I wasn't familiar with, but it also has Garrett Hedlund, Chris Tucker, Vin Diesel, Steve Martin, Kristen Stewart. So it's a good amount of people in it. I guess the thing with this movie was the way that Ang Lee shot it with the film. It was one of those like hyper real if you would have seen it in the theaters. So I guess it didn't really translate to seeing it on TV, because I didn't really notice much of a difference. But yeah, it was hyped up as being filmed in like a hyper real fashion. Yeah, I don't know. It was all right. I mean, it's kind of does just to deal with it's kind of, I guess you would say, a post-traumatic stress disorder type movie, like showing like what the guys really go through and like the perception here and how it's played out. Like the whole halftime thing is that they're going to honor them here. And but, you know, then they're going to be going back. And Kristen Stewart plays the main character's sister, and she obviously, she doesn't want him to go back. She's like against the war. It's set in like 2004. So like that, the, you know, when that, after 9/11, the whole Iraq and Afghanistan wars. So, the last little note that I found really interesting about it is, they have a Destiny's Child performance where they introduce him as Beyonce and Kelly and whatnot. But it's not them. You almost wonder, like, obviously they signed off on having their music used. Like, they didn't want to just come in and perform this. They film it in an interesting way where their hair always covers their face from every angle you see them. Like, they'll go, like, soldier's perspective, and, like, you just see the side of their hair, the side of their face. You never see the performer's eyes.
Oh, man.
So, anyways, that's out there. I just wanted to mention that I saw it. And real quick, spin it off to the other movie that I saw during the Stars Free Preview, Passengers. Did you get a chance to see that while that was in theaters?
No, I didn't. I want to check that out. I didn't see that one at all.
Okay. Yeah, I won't say too much about it, except for it was interesting how they promoted this movie. I don't know if you remember early on, they were real secretive onto whatever it was. Like, it was like, ooh, Passengers. Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt, and like, what is this? And like, ooh, get hyped because it's these actors. But as they always seem to do with these things, by the time the movie was actually in theaters, they had the full-blown previews and they threw it on TV and they showed so much of it during that. So if you've seen that, you've seen a lot of it, which that always bugs me. Going back to like the way they present movies, like at Comic-Con, like, they're so mysterious and they don't want to answer questions, but seriously, like a month before the movie actually comes out. And this isn't the filmmaker's fault. This is more the studios and marketing. Like, they show like a majority of the film if you watch like final trailers, which I usually try to skip, you know, unless it's like Star Wars or something. But anyways, I enjoyed this movie, Passengers. I won't say too much about it. I don't want to spoil it for you, but to me it had a real almost like Aliens vibe if you take away the aliens. Like, let's do a story where we have these characters on a space mission and something happens, but you know, there's no aliens, so it's like the human drama that comes from that. So, but yeah, a really good performance considering it's pretty much just the two of them for the majority of the film. So,
cool, man. Excuse me. I want to check that out because you sold it to me. I mean, I did see the trailer, so, but I mean,
right?
I'll find it somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, it's out there. What else do we got here? Oh, Atomic Blonde. I didn't get a chance to see it, but you got out to see it?
Yeah, I did. I guessed it right out from the get-go. And I went and no, wait, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of another movie. I did read the whatchamacallit, the graphic novel that it was based on, and it was the Coldest City. But this movie was good. I mean, I did like what was going on. I won't spoil it for you, but I mean, it was kind of obvious. But I'm gonna just read the synopsis. An excuse me, an undercover M6, M MI6, almost said M16. MI6 agent is sent to Berlin during the Cold War to investigate the murder of a fellow agent to recover a missing list of double agents. This was kind of, it had its James Bond Mission Impossible vibe throughout the whole movie. Charlize Theron, she's awesome. I think she's awesome in everything she does. Academy Award winner, Charlize Theron. James McAvoy, I mean, he's James McAvoy. He's badass and no matter what he plays. And John Goodman was in it. I thought he was cool. The Sophia Boutella chick. I'm sorry, everybody. I don't see it. The Mummy, yeah, I liked her in that, but I wouldn't say no. But I mean, I'm sorry. I don't see it. But yeah, she was good. But I mean, but it was Charlize Theron. She was carrying all this. And Bill Skarsgård, Pennywise in the new It, he looks creepy without all the clown makeup on. It was cool when he popped on the screen. I had no idea he was in this. I mean, but this movie's awesome. And the action is good. The storyline got a little iffy in the middle because there was times where I was like, oh, okay, something happened, something go on. I mean, but it is one of those. It's just got to build up to the story. But Charlize Theron, I mean, she's amazing in this movie. I'm sure she did the majority of all the stunts and everything. But I'm sure, except for that, you saw this in the trailer when she jumps out of that off that balcony and swings down.
Yeah,
I think that was the only thing that I was like super excited for that I wanted to see, because she was kicking ass, beating down all these dudes, and she wrapped that extension cord around this one dude. It's on the trailer, so I'm not ruining it for you. But when she jumped out, I was like, ah! But yeah, it was awesome. It's a shoot 'em up movie. It's kind of a little thinker because you're trying to figure out who's behind all this and everything. John Goodman, he pops in every now and then. He's John Goodman's good and everything. But this whole movie was awesome. I mean, I enjoyed it. I definitely want to see it again because there was something that I missed. But yeah, definitely go check it out. I mean, it's still in theaters. It just came out. It's an action mystery thriller. It says it's 1 hour and 55, but it goes by pretty quick. I mean, there's always something going on the screen where it keeps you interested. Definitely do not see this movie if you're tired, because I was a little tired, but I got through it. That's pretty much all I'm going to say about it, because I don't want to ruin it. But it's good. It's a good movie. Definitely go check it out. But what I really want to talk about in this, which I think is better than the movie, is the soundtrack. This soundtrack to me is better than Baby Driver, because this all took place in '89, and you know me, I'm a child of the '80s, and all the music was '80s music. It was awesome. I believe on the soundtrack there is some redone people. I don't like when they Kanye West. He's on the soundtrack, but all the '80s people. We had Depeche Mode, Personal Jesus, Queen, Killer Queen, Nina, 99 Luft Balloons, Till Tuesday, Voices Carry, David Bowie and Queen, Under Pressure, Depeche Mode, Behind the Wheel, George Michael, Father Figure, New Order, Blue Monday, more David. There was a lot of David Bowie in this, which I thought was amazing. It almost put me into tears. Cat People, but this song got me hyped up. Public Enemy, Fight the Power. Peter Schilling, Major Tom. I haven't heard that song. I hear it every now and then on the radio, but when that song came out, I was like, yeah. Echo and the Bunnymen, The Killing Moon, Falco, The Commissar, Flock of Seagulls, I Ran, The Cure, which I love, Just Like Heaven, Duran Duran, Hungry Like the Wolf. And then I think it goes into some other ones. Cumberland, Personal Yeezus. Jeez. See, I don't like when they redo stuff like that. But anyway, what was another one? This song got me hyped the most. When this I can't remember what scene it was, but when this song came on, just the beginning of the song, the guitar riff, I was like, oh man, I haven't heard this song in a long time. This is a band called Ministry, and they played Stigmata. And whoever, I assume it's the director who picked the songs for this, man, he picked the perfect songs for the perfect scenes in the music. I mean, it was an awesome soundtrack. I'm looking at the real soundtrack right now, and it's some of these songs aren't on there. Or the song Stigmata is done by, like, Marilyn Manson and I think And Ministry or something. I don't know. Like, Marilyn Manson's all right, but I was like, oh, man, just give me all the real songs. Don't give me Kanye and all that. And just, no.
This album is one of his best. I know you're not a fan of his, but if you were to listen to some of his stuff, that Yeezus album, you might like it. I'm saying that's one of, if you could like set aside the guy and just hear that music, you might actually like Yeezus.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It had Zeppelin, Blur was in it, Susie and the Banshees. Oh, that was awesome. Cities in Dust, that was awesome. I hate The Clash, but I do like London Calling. That was pretty cool. And Politics of Dancing, that song was amazing. But, oh, man, I think Fight the Power and Stigmata by Ministry. Those are the two songs that hype me up the most. But this soundtrack, or the music in the movie, like I said, every all the music isn't on the soundtrack. If it is, it's done by someone else. But oh man, it was amazing. I'm glad whoever the director who picked all these songs, which was awesome. I mean, I like when some movies put out, okay, here's a soundtrack with the songs redone by whoever, and then we have a second soundtrack where it's the original songs by the original artists. I'd rather have that one than all these Marilyn Manson, let me remake this song for you. No, just give me the original artist. I think that's what I love the most about this movie. I mean, the movie's awesome. I loved all the action, and I love Charlize Theron. But I thought the soundtrack just blew the movie away. But that's me. I mean, I'm a child of the 80s. So, but yeah. I mean, definitely go see this movie. I think that's what really kept me into it. I mean, I did like the movie. I mean, even if they just threw in regular modern day music, but it took place in 89, so they couldn't. It was right around the Cold War and all that, end of the Cold War, with the falling of the Berlin Wall, or that was the beginning of they were wanted to take down the Berlin Wall. But the movie's awesome. Go check it out. Yeah, I guess that's all I'm going to have to say. But damn, soundtrack is awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely go check it out. I wanted to, but the movie ended up going to see, moms really wanted to see Emoji Movie and wanted somebody to go with her. So, of course, I went and I checked it out. She enjoyed it, so that's good. I don't have too much other than say it, than, you know, it's, you know, mostly kids would enjoy it. What I compare it most to is it had a little bit of a Inside Out vibe. And while Pixar's Inside Out was kind of for all audiences, this Emoji Movie definitely was for a younger audiences. And I think younger audiences would enjoy it. There's a few younger members in the audience, and they seem to love it. I heard them talking about it on the way out, so... You know, it is what it is. If you got kids that are interested in seeing it, I'm sure they'll enjoy it.
Well, I saw that it was doing better than Atomic Blonde. So.
Wow. Well, you know, that's just because, whatever, you're going to take the kids to see it. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's a kid movie. I mean, that's...
Right.
That's how it is, man.
So you can't really...
Don't put kid movies up against
right,
or don't put your movie out up against a kid movie, because yeah. I mean, everyone's gonna go see this. I mean especially, I mean, nowadays. I think this movie came out at the right time. The kids know nowadays know what emojis are and everything, because that's basically how everyone lives their lives when you're texting or whatever, and you always throw in an emoji or something. But yeah, I mean, not to hate on the the guys that made this movie. I had no interest in it. So, I mean, if it comes on TV, because I asked Eric, do you want to see this? And he was kind of like, eh.
Yeah. A few interesting members of the voice cast, obviously. T.J. Miller is one of them. I don't have a list in front of me right now, but yeah, I was like, eh. I think Patrick Stewart is in it.
So. I'm looking at this weekend's box office, and Dunkirk is still number one.
Wow.
After 2 weeks. Of course, the movie was amazing. Emoji Movie was second. Girls Trip, I still want to see that. And then Atomic Blonde. So out of two movies that just came out, they're only second and fourth. I figured, well, like I said, kids' movie is going to be above everything else. Girls Trip, I do want to see that. I love the cast. I think that movie looks better than, what was the one that I saw with Scarlett Johansson? Rough Night. Rough Night, I think that's what it was called.
Right.
This one looks funnier. I mean, I was kind of disappointed with that other one. Spider-Man's still in the running. It's still going. It's number five. War for the Planet of the Apes, Despicable Me 3, Valerian, Baby Driver, and Wonder Woman. Still holding strong in the box office after 9 weeks.
Jeez. That's impressive.
Over the weekend, it made $3.3 million. Damn. After 9 weeks being in the theaters, and there's still everyone going out to see it.
Yeah, and at first it was supposed to come out in August, and they weren't expecting much from it. And then it got good early buzz, so they bumped it up into June.
Jeez. Emoji Movie made $24.5 million, and Atomic Blonde made $18.3. Damn.
About what you would guess. For both of them, especially right now, end of July, start of August,
yep.
Slowing down a little.
Yeah, man. As far as movies, those are the only three movies I saw: Dunkirk, yeah. Atomic Blonde, and Spider-Man.
I got two just quick hitters to throw at you. 2007's Michael Clayton. Did you see that one, or do you remember that one? George Clooney.
I don't think I've seen it.
Okay, I just. One of my favorite pods, as I've mentioned a few times, The Watch, they've brought it up a few times this past year, just talking about it. Tony Gilroy, who they brought in to help with the reshoots of Rogue One, and he's involved in the Bourne franchise. He wrote and directed this movie. I remember seeing it at the time and, you know, thought it was all right. Watched again, and... I don't know. I think I was able to, like, appreciate it more since it's been 10 years. But still definitely, like, it's a thinker of a movie, dialogue. It's about Clooney's a fixer for a law firm. And the law firm, one of their clients is actually crooked. And one of the lawyers starts to be like, man, we're on the wrong side. And I got to get out from under this. And things happen and whatnot. So it's like one of those kind of movies. It's a slower burn type films, but I just wanted to mention that. I watched a lot of movies this week, and that was one of them. So I had that on, and then the other one was Die Hard with a Vengeance. You know the Die Hard series, of course, right?
Is that the third one?
That's the third one with Sam Jackson.
That one was all right. I mean, after part two, I mean, the rest of them were just okay. I did enjoy all of them, but yeah, I love the first two.
Right. Yeah, kind of it is what it is. It was like on, so I caught part of it and then I was like, oh, it's going to air again, so I'll record it. And then I watched it again and yeah, you know, it was entertaining enough. They try to apply the, idea of, Alan Rickman, the famous villain from Die Hard 1, Hans Gruber had a brother, and this brother, now he wants revenge on McClane. So the way that Sam Jackson's character kind of gets tied to it, it's a little bit of a reach. Like, I don't know if they'd try to do something like that today, because it seems like too far of a reach, this guy that just, like, starts the movie, like, just talking to Bruce Willis, like, gets wrapped up in the whole adventure.
Yeah, I was cool with it, how they did it, but he did when Sam Jackson was on. I think he stole most of the scenes.
For sure.
And this is before he became a movie whore, popping up in everything. So,
right.
But I did love his character in this.
Yeah. Okay, I guess that wraps it up for movies then.
Oh, wait, one more quick thing. Did you see the new It trailer?
The so new scary.
The full trailer. I mean,
really scary.
Oh man, I mean, this looks amazing. I cannot wait for this. Next month, September 8th. Man, we got a little over a month, and I cannot wait for this. My fingers are still crossed that part two will be good, because any of you that saw the original miniseries, part two was no good. The first half of it was amazing when they were kids, but when they got older, it just kind of like, then the ending sucked. But my fingers are crossed that they make the second one good. I mean, and I'm hoping they don't put all the scary stuff in the trailer, because when we see the movie and all the scary, we know all the scary stuff coming. I hate when trailers do that. But they threw in some more new scary images of it, of Pennywise in it, and oh my god, I cannot wait. I think this is other than Star Wars, I think this is one of the movies that I've been waiting for. I remember when they first announced, or there was just rumors that they were going to redo it, and I was kind of like, ugh, really? But now that it's out, and I'm like, oh my god, and it's almost here, and everything they've been showing us, I cannot wait for this movie to come out. I'm so excited. I mean, the trailer just looks amazing. The teaser one that they gave us earlier was oh, that was scary. This one was even scarier. So I can't wait.
Right.
It's gonna be an awesome movie.
I sent you the picture of the pops, right? Or you saw those?
Yeah, I think the only one that I want, other than the Chase, is the Walmart one.
That one's really cool. It's the freaky hair through the face, kind of in the wind one. I'm starting to see people getting the regular one in my top Funko photo feed thing. When I go through and look at everybody's pictures, people are starting to get that and create some creepy pictures.
I that little place that I went to, that happy joy joy, they had some Pennywise. There's only one, right?
They have the regular one. They have a Chase, which it's not that exciting of a Chase. It's like sepia colored. So it's just kind of like lighter tones. And then they have the Walmart one. And
the original Pennywise.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They have just the regular original one. But yeah, for the new movie, they have all the ones I was just saying. And then he has the boat in his hands. And then there's another version where he has a balloon in his hand.
I wasn't sure if they did any more of the first one. The first go around is Pennywise. That's number 55. And
right.
I wasn't sure if they did a Chase or anything for it. Damn, there's a Captain Spaulding pop. I didn't know that. It's probably vaulted.
Probably by now. That was a while ago, as far as I remember.
Did you pick that one up?
No.
Oh man, any of these horror ones that you if you see them, let me know. The only horror ones I have is Michael Myers, the two Jasons, and what's her face from. Well, I'll get to that when we get to toys.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's go.
Okay. I did remember two other movies real super quick before we lose that section. I sent you clips from both, and maybe we can tease like a future episode. Commando and the Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2. So, Commando, it's insane how many good lines and amazing that movie is. Like, I told you, I need to catapult that into my, you know, somewhere in the 11 to 20 range of movies. It's just incredible. And then, of course, that Godzilla, Mechagodzilla, the revelation for me was after all these years of knowing the Pharaoh Monch song, I found out the beat, Get the F Up, is from that movie, the Godzilla movie. That was a crazy revelation. I was like, whoa, that's Pharaoh Monch.
No, we'll get to that when we get to the stuff. Never mind.
Okay. Sounds good. TV time.
The Mist, it is starting to pick up. I got Renee. She finally, I just had to just give her a quick catch up of what she missed. She came on the fifth episode. And they're starting to show a little bit, not too much, and tensions are getting high with all the characters right now. Everyone's still locked up in the mall and the church and the hospital. But, I mean, like, again, it's not about the monsters and everything. It's more of just how people handle this crisis and everything and what's going on. But It's still a good show, man. I mean, I like it. I know a lot of people tapped out on it already, but I can't. I gone too far. I'm already halfway through it. I got to see where it ends. And when it ends, I'll get my full wrap-up on what I thought about the whole thing. I still want to sit down and watch the movie again, but it's totally different from the movie, and it's not better than the movie. I don't care what any of these people, reviewers, are saying. It's not nothing near the movie. Other than that, I was rewatching Powerless. Oh man, I wish they had kept that show. I loved it. I laughed at every episode I was watching last night, and I even tweeted what's her face, Vanessa Hudgens. I was like, why'd this movie or why'd this show get canceled? She'll never answer me. But Powerless and The Mist. Those are the only things I watch because we're still on. Rerun time.
Right. Well, for me, obviously, I got to give you my little weekly check-in with Twin Peaks: The Return. I still don't want to get too deep into it because I'm really excited for you to check this out when you can. So I'm looking forward to discussing it with you in full when you do, because it's that kind of show. But episode 12 aired, and there is 6 more to go in the series, so we're on the downslope. And kind of what I can say, being vague about it, was it's amazing that we're on the 12th episode and 10 weeks in overall of the show airing, and we finally revealed one of the characters from the original. It was no secret that this character was going to be on the show in all, like, the before the show came out, magazine covers and stuff. The character was on the cover, but we had to wait all the way to the 12th episode. This character from the original series finally popped up. So that was an interesting way to do things. And then my intro was also Twin Peaks themed today for you, the whole Blue Rose Task Force thing. Let's rock. So, yeah. If you're watching, you know what I'm talking about. I'm dancing around at Fernandez just because I'm really excited for you to see this show. It's unlike anything. It's just so unique. That's what got me so excited about it. Before it even started, I was just like, I'll check it out, but I don't even know if I'm going to be into it. And I absolutely love it. It's so unique. So, anyways.
All right, man. I'll eventually get to it.
Okay. Yeah. Hopefully sometime. I'll keep bringing it up. Remind you. Ready for the throne?
Yeah, man. Let's get to it. it was a good episode, man. I mean, I liked what's going on. I mean, there's still it. How long does it take to get to from the north to get to whatchamacallit?
Right. We'll start to play with that time, because I think it takes a lot longer than what we're seeing. So they're kind of just like, you know, let's move it along. But it's kind of crazy that I know you were able to pretty much watch the whole series this year, but it's crazy to me that this is season 7, so 7 years of watching this, and like, it's unbelievable how things are starting to pay off. Like, just this first scene, unbelievable that it was season 1, episode 2, I think, the last time that Jon Snow and Tyrion saw each other on when Tyrion accompanied Jon to the wall, just because Tyrion wanted to see it back then. And here we are, 7 years later, 7 seasons later, and they meet again on the beach. What did you think of that scene?
I thought that was cool. I mean, I thought there was going to be, hey, bro, give me a hug, but there was none of that. But it was cool that they finally gave that looks of like, wow, you're still alive. But
right.
I mean, it was cool, man. I mean, I like that. I mean, Daenerys, she's just like, you need to bow down. And let's get to this. And John, like, I'm not ready to do that. I kind of think that he eventually probably will, but not right now, man. He's just gonna like, look, man, we can do all this later. We need to join forces because of the Night King and the Army of the Dead. I mean, they're coming, so we gotta do something. We gotta pull our forces together.
And
nip the shit in the butt. But oh my god, I mean, it was cool that they finally meet, and it was awesome that that Jon see when they were walking, and then they hear the dragons go flying by,
right.
And how him and what was the guy's name that's with him?
Davos, the Onion Knight.
Yeah, how they just ducked, hit the deck.
Yeah.
And they kind of get up and the camera pulls back and everyone else is just standing there. Like,
right.
I mean, they're all used to it because they've seen him right from the get-go. But it's...
And Onion Knight talking to Missandei. That was kind of funny, too.
Yeah. What's his name? We see Theon really quick. And when they're pulling him out of the water. So I thought that was cool. Well, we knew he was alive, but I wanted a little more of that, but they kind of just gave us just a little taste of what happened to him. And Cersei, oh my God. I mean, I love her.
Revenge time.
Yeah, but she was just like, I was thinking that maybe she... I mean, spoiler alert, everyone.
Of course.
Like, we said it last week. We're going to spoil everything when we talk about it. For some reason, I was thinking that she was bluffing with the poison. In the beginning, because when she kissed that girl, I was like, oh. But then she explained why, because I want you to see your daughter die in front of you and see her rot, and I was like, oh my god. that's crazy, man. I mean, that's hardcore, man. I mean, other than you losing your kid, and then you got to see them just deteriorate in front of you, I'm like, oh my god, they killed her son, but we hated him, but she's just revenge for a little chump, Joffrey. So, but yeah. I mean, we'll see where that goes. I kind of have a feeling that someone's gonna bust her out.
Right.
But we'll yeah, see. I wanted this show just to be more of Jon and the Mother of Dragons and all that. But it looks like she's coming around and giving them the dragon glass. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. So that really helps. And Yeah, I don't know if you know, but the actual, you know, we call it Game of Thrones, but that's actually just the name of the first book. The name of the series is called A Song of Fire and Ice. And this episode, we actually had fire and ice finally meet. Daenerys and Snow.
Yeah, so man, it sucks waiting a week.
Right.
So I don't know, man. We'll see what's coming. Because how many episodes this season?
I think only 7 or 8 this year, and then only 6 next year. So we are so close to the finish. This story is wrapping up. We're like headed towards the finish line.
What is this episode? 3 or 4?
This was 3. Okay. Of the season. This was 3.
All right. Well, so we're just about the halfway point, or almost to it.
Just about, yeah. Yeah, and then like you said, next season is only 6 episodes. So. And the way they're saying, like, the way that the final season's been hyped is that each episode is going to be like movie, like in the style of Battle of the Bastards, because it's like all leads up obviously to the end. So we'll see. Another thing that happened in this episode, Bran, after all this time, back at Winterfell, reunited with Sansa. I thought that scene was a little weird because all of a sudden Bran was acting different. Like, I know he's the three-eyed raven now, but the way he was talking, he's never talked like that before. He was like slow, and I don't know. That was kind of weird, that scene.
It seemed like he was in some kind of trance, and he just doesn't. I mean, I know if you find out you're something else, but you don't just immediately cut off all your feelings, because she was like super happy to see him and gave him a big old hug, and he was just like, he didn't even care. Didn't even pull his arms out from under blanket or whatever it was on him. And I was just like, okay, you're going to be this character now? But who knows? We'll see.
Right.
We'll just see what he does. I kind of have a feeling that he's going to walk again, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Jorah was completely healed by Sam. That was a thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's back, headed back to there.
That was cool, man. I mean, I liked what they did there. And, like, it was pretty brutal last episode. Damn it. All right, someone was calling. But
oops.
No, it was on the house phone. But I mean,
the funny thing in the episode to me was Jon Snow and Daenerys, when Missandei is doing the whole, she's the breaker of chains and the unburnt and Khaleesi of the grasslands and all this stuff, her huge, long title. And then for Davos, for Snow, is like, this is Jon Snow. He's the king in the north. That's like, that was his title. That was pretty funny. The comparison.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of what else happened. What's his fate? When the Unsullied stormed, was that Castle Rock? Is that what they did? Was that the...
Yeah.
How
which was like strong. Yeah. They easily took it, but then they take another loss. The freaking Euron comes and busts up their ships, and it turns out the Lannister army went to Tyrell home.
So yeah.
Daenerys has taken long.
What's that noise? Did you hear it? Are you using your phone? Are you using your phone or?
Yeah.
It sounds like is it on something?
No, I'm not getting
old. Is it on something?
No.
Oh, because I keep hearing like a vibration noise. But, yeah, I mean, I mean, they're playing the game right. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, they're strategically placing their armies and everything, and just kind of being one step ahead. And but I did like Jamie when he had the
final scene.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I would probably stab that lady and made it more painful than just making her drink poison. But as she knew it, she was like, whatever. As soon as he dumped it in the wand, she's like, all right, is that it? Is it going to hurt? Nope. All right, down the hatch. She didn't care. She knew that was the end.
She was like, I didn't know it was going to be like that for Joffrey, too.
Yeah, so, but.
Because she was behind that whole thing. Like,
when she.
Pulled back full circle. Yeah. Her brought down Joffrey.
When she just said, yeah, tell Cersei that I killed your son. I was like, oh, just the look on Jamie's face. I would have like, you know what?
I thought he was gonna stab her. Actually.
That's what I was thinking too. But you know what? Let me do something to you, to where it's gonna hurt for a long time before you die. Like, cut her Achilles tendons or something, or I don't know, do something so she can just torture for a while and then just leave her there.
Right.
But yeah, it was a good episode, man. That's sad that we're almost halfway through it. Like you said, we're gonna be done this month.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. A couple more episodes, and then wait till next year, and then finish it for good. Yeah. But we'll see.
Yeah, we're running short on time, so let's zip through the rest.
Yeah, let's zip through the rest. Week in sports for me, not much going on, nothing NBA. I'll let you take the baseball side because I'm checked out.
Battle of the Bay began last night, and we won that one. It's only the first game. We can't get excited yet, man. We got three more. The last game in Oakland is tonight, and then we got the next two. Is it four games?
I think it's four. Yeah. And the next. I know both teams. We're starting to send away players. I know the Giants trade away Eduardo Nunez. I think the A's got rid of Sonny Gray, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're getting rid of everyone. So right. I kind of think they're like, yeah, we're done. I think we're both done. So
exactly.
They're just getting rid of everyone. But I mean, this is our World Series.
Exactly.
Before, I mean, over anything else. So, I mean, this is the series that the Bay Area watches out of the A's and the Giants. So this is always our World Series every year. And we won the first game. So hopefully we can win the next three. And but I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Next episode, we'll talk about it. But other than that, that's the only sports I watched was that game. I actually just caught the end of it as soon as I got home. I sat down just to see the win.
There you go. That works. Yeah, we'll move right on to collecting. Obviously, we're in post-San Diego Comic-Con mode, so not a whole lot going on. I am still waiting for some of the items to arrive in the mail this past week. Got the Bodhi that was shared with Target, and the Combat Assault Tank Trooper from Rogue One that was shared with Walmart. I had them both sent to the local store for pickup, so I picked those up. I've already photographed those, threw them on the Instagram. It's officially a month. This is August 1st. Today we're recording this. It's a month till September 1st, Force Friday. So getting excited for that. I'm doing my own little countdown. Usually I just do one picture, but I couldn't decide between Pop, Black Series, and action figures, so I made sure I had enough for each of them and kind of drew up a little game plan to do three photos a day, Pop, Black Series, and regular figure. So that started today. I'm starting with Force Awakens and gonna countdown in reverse. Tomorrow's Return of the Jedi, next day's Empire Strikes Back, and then when I get to the end of the countdown, start from the other way, start with like Phantom Menace. So as far as like what's in stores today, actually, August 1st, if you're after the Justice League Pops or Troll Hunters, both of those are street dated for today. So Hot Topics and GameStops are going to have Justice League Pops today, and Target is going to have Troll Hunters. So if you're after any of those.
The only thing I picked up was that the Exorcist one, Reagan from that. I didn't even know there was an Exorcist Pop. So she's cool.
Right.
She's got throw up on her, and she's got the wide eyes. I'm looking at, I kind of got excited. I'm looking at pictures of right now. I wanted to see if there was other variations of her. But it looks like somebody made their own.
All right.
It's in a box, and I don't know. I don't know. Is this real? But the number, you know, each pop is numbered. The Exorcist one is 203, but this one, it says Possessed Reagan, and it's the number is 666, so I assume this someone just made this one. But,
right.
It looks pretty cool. But yeah, that's it. I'm definitely going to go back to Happy Happy Joy Joy and pick up Pennywise. I saw that in there, the original one. So I'm going to go and pick that one up. I'm still on the lookout for Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw. I guess I'll get Chucky and Freddy. I mean, just to finish up all the horror ones. I still need to pick up an Ash from Ash vs. Evil Dead and Pinhead. Oh, the Crow. Is that vaulted? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure it is.
It's an earlier number.
Right.
What about Scream? Is that one still out there? Well, that's number 51. Well, I don't know.
Actually, it is. I think Scream is still out there.
All right. Well, if you see Pinhead or Scream, I'm going to a horror convention, I think next month. So I'll look. I should have picked up Leatherface when I saw him at Stockton, but I ended up getting Michael Myers. Whoever was selling those, they were only like $10. I'm like, damn it. No, I messed up. I should have picked all those up. I'm on the lookout for all the horror ones. So, but yeah, the Exorcist one, that's the only thing I got.
Sounds good. You going to pick up any Justice League characters?
Nah. Maybe if I do, Batman.
Okay, there you go. Just real quick on the Star Wars moment. It's been a while since we did one, so I'm just going to go ahead and pick 97. August Digital Dewback. StarWars.com, the official Lucasfilm site, began streaming Anatomy of a Dewback, a five-part behind-the-scenes daily documentary on the making of the digital creatures for the special edition release of A New Hope. It's one of the first behind-the-scenes videos ever produced by a movie studio specifically for the internet, which is crazy because it was 97, and I don't know about you, but the first computer I got was around 2000, so that's crazy to think that they were out there 97 actually producing on StarWars.com. I think the closest I got back then was like visiting Joel, or like TMCC had like a computer lab you could visit and get on the computers.
Oh, I had a Star Wars thing, but I forgot. I'll have to do it next episode if I remember.
Yeah, sounds good. Just give us the recommendations. We can get on out of here.
Yeah. If you have one, go ahead. I need to think.
Okay. Yeah, I'll start with a movie I kind of forgot about until I just randomly saw they were airing it again. And I was like, oh, yeah, I liked it. It kind of has that B-movie feel. And as you know, I'm a big action movie fan, so I'm pretty easy to please when it comes to that. 2007's Shoot 'Em Up had Clive Owen, Paul Giamatti. A man named Mr. Smith delivers a woman's baby during a shootout and is called upon to protect the newborn from an army of gunmen. It's just way over the top, you know, gun action movie. I wouldn't say it's anything special, but if you haven't seen it, it's worth checking out. They do some fun stuff. It's B-movie fun, really, as far as like action movies go. Did you ever get a chance to see that one?
I saw it once. I remember it was crazy, off the wall action. I know there was something to do with a pregnant lady. I remember that.
Right. Yeah, there's like scene where like the baby is being targeted by the sniper, Paul Giamatti, and the Clive Owen sees it and like throws the baby on a like a merry-go-round, and it's like spinning around so he can't get a clean shot. And then he's trying to Clive Owen's trying to gun down everybody else while the baby's going around in a circle. So
I saw it one. I remember they were hyping it up at Comic-Con one year, and then I didn't see it in theater. When it came on HBO, I watched it. I was like, oh, my God. But I liked it for what it was. It was just off-the-wall craziness.
Yeah, it's exactly what it claims to be. It just shoot 'em up. It's a shoot 'em up movie. So definitely check that out.
All right, my movie recommendation. It's been 30 years since this movie came out. It came out... anniversary was yesterday, July 31st, 1987, and this is Joel Schumacher's vampire classic, The Lost Boys. And this is my all-time favorite vampire movie. I mean, this movie is amazing for what it was. I remember when it first came out, I didn't see it the weekend it opened. Whenever Masters of the Universe opened up, I think I saw it then, because I remember we went and saw Lost Boys, me and my buddy Mike, and then he wanted to watch it again, and I was like, you know what, I think I'm gonna go next door and watch Masters of the Universe. So I did that, got two movies in that day. But this movie's awesome. You guys know what it is. I don't need to explain it, but Kiefer Sutherland, amazing as David, and the Coreys, Corey Haim, rest in peace, and Corey Feldman, and everyone else that's in this movie. Jason Patrick, the beautiful Jamie Gertz, a star, and Lost Boys. I mean, that's my movie this week because I love it. I watched it yesterday, and I listened to the soundtrack too while I was at work, and the soundtrack rocks, man. Pick up the movie, pick up the soundtrack if you don't have them. Lost Boys.
Cool. I had a random song lined up, but I think I'm going to change it. I was inspired by when you were talking about Atomic Blonde and the Yeezus album. We often talk about how I... you know, defend his music. I don't defend him as a person. And I know you're not a fan, but we've been doing this now 58 episodes, and I haven't given you a random Kanye track. So from Yeezus, the first track, On Sight. This album really surprised me. In real life, this was the first album that he created after he was with Kim Kardashian. I was like, oh, man, like his career's over. It's going to be lame, but... this is probably my second favorite album that he's done, the Yeezus album, 2013. It's only like 10 tracks. It's short, but every track is really good. The beats are crazy. The first one that I'd recommend listening to just gives a perfect taste of the album overall is On Sight. So... give it a try. You'll be surprised.
I only like Gold Digger. That's the only song I like.
Yeah, no, you'd be surprised. It's a pretty hard-hitting album. So, I mean, Black Skin Ahead was the one they used for the Atomic Blonde trailers. I know that. So, but yeah, the whole album uses one of his best. So, if you can get past the person, I know he's... insane, but I don't know. I kind of give that to him just because I don't know. I think he really is a crazy person. So,
all right. My song is just gonna be from the Atomic Blonde soundtrack. I don't know if it's on the soundtrack, but they've redone by Marilyn Manson and all that. But this is Ministry's Stigmata. When I heard that song in the movie, I was like, oh my God. As soon as I left, I jumped in my car and turned it up. This is off their 1988 album, The Land of Rape and Honey. And this song is badass, man. I love it. It's just Ministry. If you don't know who they are, man, check them out. I want to say they're playing sometime soon somewhere. I can't remember where. I definitely want. I remember they came to Reno and played this little club, and I messed up. I should have went. But this song's awesome. It gets me hype. I love singing along to it when I see them live and everything. So, but yeah, check it out. Ministry, Stigmata.
Awesome. Yeah, I guess that just about wraps it up. Coming this week, we got the Dark Tower. Looking forward to that. Also, Detroit, I think, is opening wide. It may only be bigger cities. I'm confused on how they're doing the release on that, but I think Detroit's opening wide. So we'll have that. More Twin Peaks, more Game of Thrones, all that and more.
Yep. Hey, everyone, thank you for listening. Check us out on iTunes, Podbean, wherever you're listening to this from. Thank you for listening. And everybody worldwide, I still can't thank you guys enough. Thank you to all our brothers and sisters out there with all the shows we're affiliated with. And, man, I can't believe that people are listening to us and other parts of the world. Quick shout out to Japan, Vietnam, United Kingdom, Turkey, Russia, all throughout the UK. I already said United Kingdom, Philippines, in Asia. Oh, my God. I mean, I wish I could say thank you and all your languages. I'll eventually figure it out, but... Oh, man. Vietnam. I can't believe that. It's crazy. Thank you, everyone that listens. And do check out my last episode that I put out, MacNess Podcast, episode 79. I did a commentary track for the 1986 movie Rad. Thank you, everyone that's already downloaded that show. And, yeah, speaking of commentary, we kind of discussed this a little, Zisu and I. We want to do Commando. So maybe next time we're together, we'll throw it on and record us talking about it as we're watching it. Because if you haven't seen Commando, man, just do drop everything and go see that movie, because that movie is amazing. But hey, yeah, what was that?
Yeah, I can't wait for that. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah. It's coming soon. I think you're going to come down here for whatever reason. And yep. We'll sit down and do it. We'll definitely have to get Joel in on it, because just to hear his snarkiness of everything. But hey, everyone, thank you for listening. And oh yeah, I forgot to say this the last show. Big thank you to Jade for coming on the show when she came home. But she'll be back, and she'll definitely be on the show again. And yeah, we still need to do those. Her and Tegan need to do that show.
Definitely.
Just kind of got caught up with everything else. But hey, everyone, again, thank you so much for listening. Like our Facebook page and do spread our word. I retweet everything, or I tweet our show links and all that. And if you follow us on that, do retweet them for us and just get our show out there. Man, I'd love to hit more parts of the world. And that's it for me. Unless you got anything else.
Nope, that's it for me. I just want to reiterate, yep, thanks, everybody. Be back next week with the next episode. Until then, I'll leave you with the words of Bennett from Commando. I don't need the girl. I don't need the gun.
Come on, Bennett. Go away, that chicken shit gun. I just want to pull a trigger, put a knife in me, and look me in the eye. See what's going on in there when you turn it. That's what you want to do, right?
Kill you, John.
Come on, let the girl go. It's between you and me. Don't deprive yourself of some pleasure. Come on, Bennett. Let's party.